Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We are live here at Deliverance Temple. Praise God. Amen and amen. Good to be back with you this week. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and start my trusty sidekick early today and get it going. That way we make sure that we don't miss anything. So, praise God. Here we go. There we are. All right. So we are locked and loaded for Transformation Hour this morning. Praise God. Good morning, Sister Beth. Good morning, Sister Carrie. Good morning, Minister Regina. Good to see all of you coming in this morning. We are so, you're the one, you're sunshine, Miss Carrie. That's who you are. So good to see you this morning. Praise God. So I'm glad to be back home. Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz said, there's no place like home. And I have to kind of agree with her there. There is no place like home. I like to travel. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy traveling. I like to go places, see other people and that kind of thing, see other environments. And I really, really enjoyed my time away last week in the great state of Mississippi. First time that I'd ever been there, although my family, both sides of my family actually track back to Mississippi. My grandfather on my mother's side and my grandfather on my father's side, both were born in Aberdeen, Mississippi, and so I got roots there, but I'd never really been there, and so it was a pleasure to be in that state, kind of feel my roots a little bit as we were there for the Believe Big Again conference with Mr. Felix Anderson, and it was just awesome and amazing. What can I say? Good morning, Sister Amanda. Good to see you. So, you know, we heard great speakers. We learned things. We praised God. We worshiped. Prophesied. We pretty much got it all in that weekend, and got back on the plane and came on back home. And I want you to know that I'm glad to be here. Glad to be healthy this morning. You know, a lot of people are struggling this morning with one ailment or another, and we want to keep them in mind. Even some of our own here at Deliverance Temple certainly struggling this morning. But God is more than able, more than able. He's willing. He's more than willing. He's ready. And so if you will receive from him this morning, he's got everything you need. Good morning, Pastor Carol. He's got everything you need, whether it's healing, whether it's finance, whether it's relationship adjustment. I say it that way because sometimes, and this is not my subject this morning, y'all, but sometimes relationships are such that there has to be an adjustment. I'll call it that. Sometimes, you know, some folks have been in your life, their season is up. Am I saying that delicately enough? You know, good morning, Sister Libby. You know about that, right? Sometimes their season is up. It's just time for them to go so you can move on. You ain't necessarily mad at them or what have you. Maybe you are, but it's time for them to go. It's time for them to move on because you're ready for the next part of your journey. Amen? And so we thank God for the time that they were in our life, but then it's time to move on. We got to keep it moving. Good morning, Dr. Elisa. Good morning, Brother Larry. All the way from up north, we're glad to see you, sir. Always happy to see folks popping in on our Facebook Lives, as well as the folks who are gathered here live, for real, in the auditorium. Bishop and First Lady right on the front row on their post. You know, I'm reminded of the book of Nehemiah, where they were rebuilding the wall and God had them on assignment. How many of you know that if you are aware of your assignment and you're doing your assignment, You don't let every little thing distract you or dissuade you from that assignment. And so, no one would fault Bishop. No one would fault First Lady if they stayed home. They are octogenarians. That's a fancy word to say they're in their 80s now. And if they wanted to just stay home and be safe and that kind of thing, no one would say a word about that, but say, God bless you, I understand. But every week they're right here on the wall,
yes, yes,
on assignment.
Amen.
Doing what God has called them to do.
Amen.
And I give praise to God for them. They are an encouragement to me, and I know to all of you as well. Good morning, Sister Roz. Good to see you. And so this morning, we are... Good morning again, Brother Kerry. I always have to smile when I see Deacon pop on and know that he's right out in the hallway watching and hearing it twice there. Praise the Lord. We're grateful for him. I'm this morning going to start a new series. I told you on last week, and those of you who caught the watch party that I did in Facebook, thank God for technology, right? I mean, that we could do stuff like that. Good morning, Sister Janice. Good to see you, ma'am. That we can do stuff like that. I was in Mississippi recorded that, loaded it up to YouTube, and made it available as both a YouTube here in the auditorium with the help of Brother Samuel. And it was broadcasting on Facebook as a watch party as well. So, and I was still in Mississippi the whole time. So pretty cool. Maybe I'm just a geek and I kind of like that stuff. But I think that it's pretty cool. And I thank God for the technology to be able to do that. These days you can be more than one place at a time through technology. And so I thank God for that opportunity to continue. So what we did on last week, I gave you a word that was on my heart that I believed was indeed and is a right now word, okay? But I told you we're going to take a little break in between October and November and give you that word that day, and then we would start a new series most likely when I got back for the remainder of November, and that's exactly what we're going to do. And so this morning, I'm going to begin something that has been on my heart again. You know, I haven't taught on this. I was looking back in the archives, as it were, of my teachings. And I only have archives, y'all, because Bishop stayed on me and on me and on me about recording until I finally started doing it. The technology caught up with me, and we were able to do that. I wasn't able to drag all the heavy equipment from the auditorium over to the fellowship hall where we usually have our Transformation Hour meetings, what Deacon Fred likes to call the Transformation Room. That's where we usually meet, and I couldn't haul all that over there every Sunday and haul it back for Sunday morning service and that kind of thing. But when they came along with voice recorders on telephones, hallelujah, where you could take a little device that you could hold in your hand and record pretty much seamlessly and flawlessly every word that you were saying. Oh boy, I was off to the races then. So I have now recordings all the way spanning back more than 5 years, maybe 6 years of Transformation Hour teachings. And every once in a while, not unlike the Reverend Dr. Robert Schuller said that every once in a while he had to get in the closet and pull out one of his own books and read it. See what had God spoken to him earlier that he needed now, right? And so I found myself, I do find myself in that situation from time to time, and I'll go back and listen. And so the last time that I taught on the subject that we're going to engage this morning, the last time was in 2015, 5 years ago. And then I had taught on a similar type of subject 3 years before that. So I guess it's not something that I do every year, but I am feeling the unction of the Holy Spirit to hit it this time again, but a little differently. Guess what? Yes, it's always going to be a little different because time moves on. Your assignment is evolving, and you're not, hopefully you're not exactly the same place you were last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Oh, it's quiet in here. I said, I hope that that's not where you are. If you are in that situation, it's time to go back and listen to the replays from a couple of months ago when I talked about stuck,
amen,
unstuck,
amen, yeah,
right? Free and flourishing.
Right.
Because that's what time it is. It's time to move ahead. It's time to get moving. And then last week, or last month, I should say, we talked on themes on motivation, our momentum. God is sending a word to us to let us know it's time to get up and time to move. You camped out here long enough. Man, I'm all over the map this morning, but it's only 9:17. You'll be all right. I'm gonna bring it in for a landing here after a while on my message for this morning. But this is all on top, and I'm just really happy to be back home. And you know, I count it a privilege. I do not take it for granted that Bishop allows me this spot and this space to minister in my gifting area. I am gifted as a teacher. That's what I do. And I could try to deny it, but why? It's what I do. And the Bible tells us very plainly that God himself has set these ministry gifts in the house for the perfecting of the saints, for the edification, building up of the body of Christ. And so, you know, you're not in my skin, but I can tell you, I know the difference between when I'm just talking, because Mark can talk, y'all. My wife will attest to that. Mark can talk. Good morning, Deacon Barry. Good to see you, sir. My wife can attest to the fact that I can talk. I can talk for a while.
You talk in sleep?
Yeah, I probably do talk in my sleep, First Lady. But when I'm teaching, I know the difference. When the Spirit of God is speaking, when he's moving on me and empowering me in that gift. And I know the purpose is to edify and to build up the body of Christ. And we live in here at Deliverance Temple, I say we live in, yeah, we really do. We live in an apostolic house. Our bishop is an apostle. Our bishop is a builder. He lays foundation upon which others of us can continue to build. And so, again, I don't take it for granted. I do thank you, sir, for the privilege to speak to the people of God each and every week. And I want y'all to know I'm not just doing this because I ain't got nothing else to do. This is hands down about my favorite time of the week, is talking with you, is ministering to you, is sharing with you what God has put on my heart. That right now word, that Rhema word, that Logos word that is for you. So this month, we're revisiting, not just because it's this time of the year, because, you know, truth be known, if we're going on time of the year, maybe this would have been September or October. But it's November and we're doing this, which is just another way of God showing us that he controls time. Did y'all know that? He controls time. You may think that you know what time it is. But he knows for real what time it is. Time is in his hand. We sometimes get too preoccupied with clocks and calendars. And we sometimes err on the side of the calendar and the clock and miss God in the season that he's opening up for us. We don't want to do that. We don't want to miss the Lord. We don't want to miss the time of our visitation. We don't want to miss what he's doing in this moment, in this hour, in this house. And can I tell you, whether you're a member of Deliverance Temple Ministries or not, if you're watching this, this word's for you. Right. You're not here by accident. Right. Right. I don't believe in accidents, y'all. Not for the people of God. And every bishop tells us, every stumbling block is a stepping stone. We're going somewhere. You can't hold us back like that. We're going somewhere. We have a mission and a direction that God has given us, and we intend to do it. We intend to make it all the way. And no need stopping halfway there. Lord, have mercy. I'm hearing all kinds of things now. Somebody say, well, I'm tired. Well, guess what? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Get happy. Get back up and keep it moving. There's no time to quit. Say, but Mark, you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, okay. And can I tell you, without being too unkind, that what you're going through, others have gone through before and survived on and done a work for the Lord. Wow. I hate to just take the air right out your little black balloon, but guess what? You're not the only one. Other people have had financial struggles, relationship struggles, spiritual struggles, health struggles and challenges. Is that right, Pastor Gwen? Yeah, it isn't just you. And the same God that brought them through is the same God that's going to bring you through if you trust him to do it. Hallelujah. That's right, Sister Beth. 8:10, Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So get a hold of some of that joy. You say, well, let me go all the way country back to Hartville, y'all. Well, reckon where can I find some of that their joy, Mark? Galatians 5 tells us that one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Well, where's that Spirit? Well, if you are a blood-washed, born-again believer, the Spirit of God is in you. He doesn't go anywhere without all that he is. He doesn't leave the fruit of the Spirit in heaven when he takes up residence in you. So that joy is in you. See, part of our problem right there, I'm going to get to my left. Give me a moment here. Part of the problem we encounter. Good morning, Sister Tina. Now, there's a sparky person right there. I love her. And she know about some joy. Through pain, through struggle. I say you ain't going to go through something, but the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Spirit of God is what keeps you going. It's what gets you up. It's what empowers you. So, shake it off. 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 We got work to do. So I want to talk about work this morning. That's a word you don't hear me say a whole lot because I'm a grace preacher, y'all. I'm a grace preacher. I'm proud of it. I don't take a step back from that because it is the grace of God that saves us. We are saved by grace through the agency of faith, the scripture tells us. So I don't back up from that. I'm happy about that. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 that I'm the beneficiary. Me and you are beneficiaries of the free gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace. How much? I said the abundance of grace. He doesn't give it to you in short supply. He said, well, where does the work come in then, Mark? All right, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. Pastor Gwen said, the work is to believe. That's what Jesus told us, isn't it? The work is to believe. And if you believe on him, as the scripture has said, come on now, they're preaching back to me out here. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. Rivers, plural, of living water. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This work is not something to be afraid of. Because we're able to do it by the power of God in us. I'm getting a little ahead of myself this morning, but I want to talk to you this month. We're going to take our time. You see, I already am. We're going to take our time and talk about the work of harvest. The work of harvest. Now, here's the good news right off the bat. They say he's talking about harvest. That must mean it's about that time. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's time for harvest. It's time for harvest. Listen, I noted earlier that sometimes we get so glued to the clocks and calendars. We think we know what time it is. But you better check with the Lord. Because if you think that it's one time of the season, it's one time of the year, and you are acting like that, but it's really another time, because things have shifted, because he's given you a new relationship with time, because he's doing a new thing in you, he's doing an unprecedented thing in you. I stood right here on December the 31st, 2019, and I declared to the congregation that 2020 would be a year of the unprecedented. Some of you who have lived through this year can attest to the fact, even right up to this week, amen? It has been and continues to be a year of the unprecedented. Things you ain't never seen before are happening. Now, you might get happy about that or you might be crying, but it is what it is, y'all. And he has not made a mistake as he declared to us, this is a year of the unprecedented. It's a year in which I'm going to give you a new relationship with time. So don't get so dependent on your clock and calendar that you don't check with the Lord to see what time it really is. It's 5 degrees outside and you coming with a bikini on. That's not what time it is, girlfriend. That's not what time it is. I just gave somebody a visual right there. I'm sorry. Pull it back in, y'all. But it's time for harvest. I do intend to impress upon you that fact. The Lord said it's harvest time. I think that I can maybe, I know I can relate, maybe you can relate, perhaps, to the fact that you have sown, but you're saying, where's the harvest at? Oh, maybe I'm by myself. That's okay. I'm going to preach and teach this word if the Lord give me breath to do it, if nobody hears me but me. I'm going to listen. Sister Chris Coker says she hear me, so that's all right. I got one at least. This is harvest time. But I want you to understand this morning that there's work involved. All right. As I said, being a grace preacher, you don't hear me talk about work very often because we've been so works oriented that we think that's all it is. You know, we think that's our salvation is, you know, by our own works. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. We are saved by grace through the agency of faith. And we can't even get boastful about that, can we, Pastor Will? Because the faith is a gift. So you ain't got no room to be, you know, sticking your chest out talking about, hey, yeah, I did this and that's why I'm so. No, sorry. Mm-mm. Get it straight. That's right, give him the glory. It is God who is at work in you. I'm getting ahead of myself. Pull it back in, Mark. And he is the one, as Paul tells us in Philippians 4, Jesus himself is the one by his spirit in us who infuses us with strength. Therefore, we can do all things through the one who strengthens us. So listen, I don't want you to get scared, boo-boo, when you think about the work that is ahead or what he's calling you to do. Don't get all afraid because there's some work involved, because guess what? He is the one empowering you and strengthening you to do the work. Where we get in trouble is when we're trying to do the work on our own, in our own strength and in our own ability, and oftentimes in our own mind. We think we know what we should be doing and when we should be doing it and how we should be doing it, so we're just going to do it. Well, I see how that worked out for you. God help us indeed. We must depend on God. He will not fail us. He won't forsake us. In fact, oh, man, I tell you, too many scriptures come running through my mind. In fact, I'm going to give you another one, though, for y'all who said, man, he don't never give no scriptures. Here's one for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. King James, of God are ye in Christ. In other words, here's the Mark Dixon version. It was his idea to put you in Christ. It wasn't your idea. It was his idea to put you in Christ. Furthermore, he goes on to say, whom he has made to us, the Father has made Jesus Christ to us, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. He hasn't left anything out. He hasn't left anything out. I'm missing one. Let me go there. 1 Corinthians. Yes, we do have to receive it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It's coming. It's an R word, y'all. It's coming to me. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. How'd I forget that one? It's a whole package, y'all. It's a complete package. He hasn't left anything out. He hasn't forgotten anything. He hasn't overlooked anything that you need to do what he's called and assigned you to do.
Right.
So when he says it's harvest time, Don't get afraid. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. He's the source of your life in Christ Jesus. He made him to you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The whole complete package. Nothing left out. Nothing at all. So let me slow down just for a moment and kind of back up here and talk about harvest a little bit. Maybe we just start at the beginning. How's that? So I said, "Ooh, that's sound like it's going to take a minute. I've got all month. I'll be right here, y'all." Let's look over in the book of Genesis. That's the very first book in your Bible. And even if you're unfamiliar with it, just open up and get past the table of contents and you'll run right into it, I guarantee. It's Genesis chapter number 8. And I want to go to verse number 22. Praise God. And it reads this way. Computer's a little slow this morning, so bear with me. While the earth remains. So let me just stop right there. Is the earth still here? Okay, I'm just checking. All right, making sure that we're on the same page here. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. You mean all that's still going on? All these years later, we still got night and day? We still got cold and heat. We still got summer and winter.
Yes.
All right. Well, then we got seed time and harvest as well.
Absolutely.
Now, sometimes we get all stuck on, especially in the church, y'all. I'm gonna go here. Y'all just, you know, y'all be nice. I'm gonna try to be nice. Sometimes we get all caught up in the seed time part. You know, sowing. Sow. Hey, I'm a sower. I believe in sowing. The wise man told us in Ecclesiastes, you need to sow here, sow there, 7, 8 places. You don't want to just do one. We need to be people who take up a lifestyle of sowing. Let me help somebody out real quick. They said, Lord, you're going to talk about money all month. Lord. Yes, I am. Money's involved, but that's not all I'm talking about. Sister Carrie Jones sows a smile. Every time I see her over there at work, she come in smiling. I call her Sunshine. She's sowing a seed. You can sure sow money. We all know about that. But there's all kinds of ways to sow. Here's my point, is that we as believers ought to be people who operate in a lifestyle of sowing. Sowing is important. But sowing is not all. Somebody say amen and thank you, Jesus, right there. If we were only sowers, if we just sowed all the time and there was never any harvest, that would be problematic. But he said seed time and harvest is a perpetual law of God. Seed time and harvest, my friend Mr. Felix Anderson likes to say it this way, seed, time, and harvest. Because that's the other issue that we run into sometimes, isn't it? We sow some seed. Let's see, it's about 9:40 this morning. Let me see. I'm going to check back about 5 this afternoon and see if it's ready. Not ready yet? Okay. Well, surely tomorrow morning, harvest time, it'd be ready to go. Oh, Lord, help us. Sometimes that time part gets a little rough. Some of us thinking back about seeds that we have sown years ago that we don't seem to have, careful now, we don't seem to have seen a harvest of them. And we said, Lord, don't you remember when you told me to sow that seed? And I was obedient. I didn't hesitate for too many weeks before I did what you told me to do. And some of y'all caught that. I finally did it, Lord. And where's the harvest? Let me help you out. I'm gonna take my time right here. Good morning. There's my lovely wife. I done talked her up. Praise God. So we sow. And sometimes, besides just looking for that harvest like tomorrow, we don't recognize the form in which it's coming back. Listen, can I tell you that the fact that you're still breathing, the fact that coronavirus hasn't taken you out, not only is that the mercy of God, but somebody sowed for their family. Somebody sowed for the health of their loved ones. Mm-hmm. Somebody sowed some prayer as well as some financial seed. Somebody sowed some service to somebody that wasn't even your family. You sowed some service over here and somebody was good to your child. Y'all don't hear me? You sowed kindness over here. And when it came time for the right doctor to be kind to your child when they got sick. Can I talk about it, Pastor Gwen?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because you didn't know what was going to happen. Dr. Elisa didn't know all this was going to happen to her. But when it happened, you want the right doctor. You want the right medicine. You want the right procedure. You want the one who actually cares whether you live or die. For real. First lady said, let's be for real. I said, you want the right one. Don't just send me anybody. And it may not have been a financial harvest that you needed at that moment. God knows everything we need, and I want to dispel any myth or doubt in your mind about the fact that he is not concerned about any part of your life. He's concerned about every part of your life. And he's made provision. And he has put laws in place.
Hallelujah.
Principles. Can I say it that way?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes law sounds a little harsh. He has put principles in place. That if we follow, if we align ourselves with these principles, under the direction of Holy Spirit, we will see the harvest. We will see the benefit that he intends for us. So it's first important to understand that seed time and harvest is a God-ordained principle.
Right.
It's not some theory some egghead came up with at Harvard. This is a God-ordained principle. Now somebody said, well, I'm a giver. I just like to give. I don't even expect nothing back. I'm just going to stare at you for a minute. Please. First of all, just please. And second of all, it's foolish. I didn't call you a fool. Don't. I said it's foolish not to expect a harvest on your seed. It is a principle that you're operating in. That God has ordained. And the first element of that principle that you need to understand is to be aware of it. That's why I'm spending some time this morning drumming this in. You need to be aware of it. That's right, Pastor Carol. I love him too because he thought about me when he put seed time and harvest in place. He was thinking about Mark. I'm pretty sure he was thinking about you too. It is a God-ordained principle, Sister Beth. Seed time and harvest. Secondly, it's important that you understand not only awareness, but that you understand you need to believe it. Pastor Gwen said, a little earlier, the work, quoting Jesus, the work is to believe. Seems like, Bishop, you can back me up here, seems like that's sometimes the hardest thing for us to do, is just believe. We try everything else. We look everywhere else. We ask everybody else. But we won't just believe. Believe what he said. Believe what he put in place for you.
Absolutely.
Well, somebody said that's just, you know, that's just worldly and you're selfish if you're looking for a... No, I'm godly because I'm obeying a godly principle. And oh, Lord, help us. Let me keep moving. So first of all, be aware. You're all aware now. You can't say you're not aware of the principle, the godly principle established early on, right here in the first book, Seed Time and Harvest. Secondly, believe it. Thirdly, this is where we get into trouble sometimes, if we can even get past that believing part. We get into trouble sometimes on this third area, and that is the application of the principle. Can I tell you this morning, I'm going to, that I'm really not interested in a bunch of theory. Woo, got quiet there. I'm not trying to just give y'all a bunch of theory. This is the word of God. You can believe it or not.
All right.
You can apply it or not. But it is the word of God. It is the principle of God.
Come on.
And if you're going to apply it, why not apply it consistently? Mm-hmm. Why not put it into practice? You know, Bishop, I'm sure you've had those parishioners over the years, in all the decades you've been serving people. Yeah, Bishop, I gave once, but it didn't work. I tried that one time, and it didn't work. Sounds like you didn't work. Yeah, it sounds like you didn't work. It is not very wise for us to just say, well, I heard that this is a principle of God, so I'm going to try it once and see. No, you got that confused with the Missouri Lotto. That they want you to try once. They can get everybody to try once. They keep making money. Well, I heard somebody won somewhere. Up in northern Missouri, somewhere, some town I ain't never heard of. Yeah. I'm going for a sure thing, y'all. I'm not gambling here, and I'm not invested heavily in theory. I'm talking about what God's word says and putting that into practice, being aware of it, believing it, and putting it into practice, into consistent practice and application. Talking about, well, I planted a seed one time and it didn't come up. I don't think it did. I didn't go back to look, but I don't think it ever came up. So I said, that don't work. Lord, have mercy. Please, God, give us believing people to work with. I'm sure that one of the toughest jobs that Bishop has had in all these years of pastoring is just simply getting people to believe what he's saying. They love to complain. They love to tell you what's not working. They love to tell you what went wrong and who's not treating them well. He done spent countless hours hearing them stories. Said, did you do what I told you? Did you apply the principle that I told you? Well, I was going to, Bishop. I was about to get around to that, but then something had happened, and see, and I was hungry, and so I took that $5 and went to McDonald's. And so I didn't have no seed to sow, and so but next time, I'm gonna try it next time. If I can just get these people to treat me right. Did I tell you about the people that ain't treating me right, Bishop? Did I tell you about how hard I forgot? Yes, you did. Many, many times here now. Yeah. Over and over. I want to shake you just a little bit this morning and help you understand that God is, oh Lord, I just heard that. God's more interested in your success than you are. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He said, I'm more interested in your success than you are. That can't be true. Really? Really? We just talked about the fact that he's sharing a principle with you, asking you to believe it, asking you to put it into practice. You ain't done any of that. And then you want to turn around and say, well, I'm all about my success. Really? He's showing you how to be successful. He's telling you how to be successful. Again, let me reiterate, because I'm a teacher. We do things over and over so you get it. So let me tell you once again, I'm not just talking about money. Yes, money's included, but not just money. Health, relationships, come on, you name it. He's concerned about all the domains of your life and your overall wellness and your overall success. He's committed to your success, so committed that he came, lived, died a sacrificial death for you, was raised from the dead with all power in his wing, and he has given that power to you by his Holy Spirit. Listen, when I was coming up way back in the day in a little church in Hartville, Missouri, population 526 people, we used to sing a song, what more could he do? He laid the foundation. He opened up the way. What more could he do? But it's up to you to believe it and to apply it. I know I sound a little angry. I ain't mad at nobody. I'm just a little frustrated, though, sometimes. And this guy, yeah, me, him, I get frustrated with him. So you know better. You know better. You know what I told you. You know what I instructed you to do. When did you stop believing? When did you stop applying it? Go back and do your first work over. See, a lack of awareness is problematic. It can even be fatal. They say, well, what you don't know can't hurt you. That's a lie. What you don't know can kill you. And so Holy Spirit sends the word to you to make you aware. You have a choice then to believe. See, information is good. That's great. But he wants us to go on from just information to a real knowledge of the thing. But we're not even going to stop there. He wants us to go on to a wisdom. That's applied knowledge. You know, there are lots of folks out there got, you know, bachelor's, master's, doctorate, several of them, different disciplines. I know everything. Okay. All right. But how much of that are you applying? Or are you just a theorist? We got some Christian theorists, spiritual theorists. They tell you, yes, yes. And here's the scripture for it. And And God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or even imagine. Oh, that sounds good. And you're right, he is able. But how much of that are you experiencing? Because do you believe it? And are you applying it to your own life? When the situation comes, when that pain hits you in your chest, right then, in the middle of the night, your phone ain't even in reach. So don't think about calling 911. Who you gonna call? What you gonna do? What you gonna believe? I'm telling you, I've been in some situations where, you know, where my Bible? I can't. No. You better have the word in you. And you better believe what it is that you have taken in. So I want you to understand this morning as we begin to talk about harvest, that there's work involved, but don't be afraid of the work. There's a principle in place that is stacked in your favor. Ah, somebody ought to like that right there. It's stacked in your favor, Minister Sylvester. It's stacked in your favor, Minister Regina. It's stacked in your favor, Pastor Clark. It's stacked in your favor, Sister Beth. It's stacked in your favor. We'll apply it. So quickly, as I'm moving towards my close for today, hallelujah. As I move it to my close for today, I want to take a look at John. Jump over in the New Testament. We're going to be all over the scripture. John 4. See, I didn't wait for y'all to say, yeah, amen. It's going to be all right. You're going to be fine. Yeah, amen. So John 4:35, familiar scripture. Jesus says, do you not say, there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? I tell you, lift up your eyes and see how the fields are already white for harvest. See, some of you, some of us, can I just go on and say it that way? Some of us waiting on harvest because we have it fixed in our mind that it's out there somewhere, sometime in the future. I'm coming this month to declare to you that God says it's harvest time now. It's time to see not only the fruit of your labor, but he's even going to give you harvest where you didn't plant. Now, have mercy. Have mercy. Messing with somebody right there. They said, now, wait a minute, Mark. Wait a minute. You said seed time and harvest. It means somebody got to plant something. I did say that, yes. And I, you're absolutely right. But can I tell you, sometimes the favor of the Lord is such that it ain't even you who planted. Oh, I'll let that sit there for a minute. What did he tell the children of Israel as they were coming into the promised land? I'm going to give you houses you didn't even build, vineyards you didn't even plant. All right. Somebody ought to be shouting right there. You're getting ahead of me now. Pastor Gwen trying to get me into Amos 9. We're going to go there this month. We're definitely going to go there. She's picking up on the theme here. But I want you to understand the breadth of harvest. I want you to get a bigger idea of harvest than you've been thinking. I want you to get a bigger idea than just, oh, I plant a seed, I wait a little while, it comes up, I pick that, and then, you know, that's good. He's going to do all of that. He's going to do it exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or even imagine if you allow his power to work in you, guide you, and direct you. As the Spirit of God directed Isaac in a famine. Check it out, Genesis 26. He sowed in a famine and reaped a hundredfold in the same year. God is at work doing some amazing things. Amazing things for his people, because that's what time it is. It's not the time you think. It's not the time that CNN tells you or MSNBC tells you or Fox, Lord help. It's not that time. It's the time God says it is. And if he says it's harvest time, you better get ready to reap. The disciples were tripping here in John 4 as they had gone and come back from getting a little food for the master, and he'd been talking with the woman at the well, Samaritan woman. And they said, hey, you know, I got you a sandwich, Jesus. And he said, I'm good. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. They're like, did somebody bring him a biscuit while I was gone? I said, what are you talking about? He said, y'all still don't get it. By this time, the people are coming that the Samaritan woman had told about Jesus. They are coming up over the hill. They're coming to see a man. Come see a man, she said. That was her message. Come on now. Somebody ought to preach that right. Come see a man. Here they come. And he says, you sitting up here tripping about, well, you know, a sandwich. And he says, you say, oh, there are yet four months to the harvest. He says, I tell you, look up, look around you. The harvest is ready right now. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit of eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper, come on, Pastor Gwen, may rejoice together. Oh, man. I got to quit this week. But I'll tell you what. He's at work. And if you'll believe it and begin to move out and begin to look.
All right.
Have you even looked? Do you recognize the time and season that you're in? Do you recognize harvest when you see it? Somebody ought to get that one right there and go meditate on it for a minute. Make it a prayer. God, show me the harvest that I'm missing. Show me the harvest that I'm overlooking. Show me the harvest that I discounted. Show me the harvest that I say, oh, that's somebody else. That ain't for me. 37. This is John 4. For here the saying holds true. One sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor. Others have labored. And you have entered into their labor. He said, there's a work for you to do, but it ain't the sowing part this time. It's the harvesting. It's the reaping.
All right.
Go dance right there just a little bit. Hallelujah. He said, yeah, what you sowed is coming up, but I also got some other things. I had somebody else sow, and you're going to get to reap it. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Bless you coming and going. Isn't that the word of the Lord, though? Coming in and going out, you're blessed. He's got this thing all wrapped up. So, as I close this morning, we look at some other things. Pastor Gwen got ahead in my notes here. To Amos, we're coming back to that. It is time to put in the sickle. Maybe we'll just start there next week. That's Mark chapter 4. I ain't got time to go further with it today. But I want you to understand and get excited. Get excited. Get excited about harvest. I don't, my mama say, don't say you don't care. Let me put it another way. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what it looked like, who said what the newspaper said, what the letter said you got in the mail. Receive the word of the Lord right now. It's harvest time. I want to teach you this month about the work of harvest, because there's work involved. But the key and primary work is to believe. Listen, if I believe, somebody told me, said, Mark, there's a field over here right off of Chestnut Expressway and you know, Fulbright or whatever. There's a little field over there, and I left a pot of gold there for you. Nobody knows it's over there, but I left it just sitting off in the middle of the weeds. Now, that's a pretty far-fetched story, isn't it? And if I don't believe it, I don't get out of my chair.
Right, that's right.
But what if I do, First Lady? What if I do believe it? I'm getting up and making my way to that field. I'm pulling weeds. I'm looking for it. So if the Lord said it's harvest time, you're not going to do it if you don't believe it. That's right, Bishop. If he says it's harvest time, it's harvest time. I don't care how many weeds and whatever craziness it looked like, you look for it. Because it's there. And don't worry about the work involved. Yes, there's work involved. You got to get up out your chair, first of all.
Yes, sir. And move.
Move. Comedian Robin Harris, before he passed, had a routine that he talked about two fellas sitting up at the house. They need a job and stuff, but they sitting up at the house doing other things, partying and what have you. He said, knock at the door. Doom, 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 doom. Who's there? Job. He said, that don't happen. That's not how this works. You got to get up off the couch. You got to come out the basement, Gwen.
Yes, yes, yes.
I got better things for you. I got bigger things for you. I got more for you than you're doing here. I got a bigger harvest than you can reap in this basement. And it's time to put in the work, to believe, to receive the harvest that he has for you. God bless you. I hope that I've said something to help you a little bit this morning. We're going to continue on. We got three more weeks. So we're going to see what all the Lord says here about the work of harvest. But I want you to know, don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Because, you know, I know work's a four-letter word, but you'll be all right. You may have to fill out a form. Lord have mercy. Say, I got $10 million over here for you. Somebody left for you. But you got to come over and fill out this form to get it. I ain't filling out no form. First Lady said, oh, yes, I am. What time y'all open? I'll be there. I'm bringing my good pen.
Right. Absolutely.
Don't be afraid of the work. He's there for you. He's with you. He intends your best.
Yes, sir.
Woo. He's going to empower you to do the thing that needs to be done in order to reap that harvest. Amen? All right. God bless you. We will see you next week. Same place. Amen. Bye-bye.